Thanks for joining us online today. We are really glad you're here.
Core Church is a place of hope, healing, peace, and purpose. And if you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can help you in any way through prayer or support, we want to encourage you to use the links that are in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we pray this message both encourages and inspires you. I don't even know why some of you are still sitting, because if you're at a Bon Jovi concert, you wouldn't be sitting. I can tell you that right now. Oh, man. Come on, stand if you will. We're going to read some scripture together. How about give it up for the man in the hat? Come on now. Those of you who don't know, that's Corey Reynolds, saved by the faith and grace of God. If you've never heard his testimony, it is a phenomenal testimony of God's faithfulness and love and being literally just pulled out of the pit. And here he is giving glory and honor to God with his guitar. That's amazing. That could be possibly my favorite playlist ever, by the way. I don't know if you know, if some of you may go, I don't know that song. I would say, what rock do you live under? Because that is literally like, I don't know if you know this, that is like the number one played rock song in history across radios. And it's a great song. So if you got a Bible, let's go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, we're in our series that we're calling Playlists. So if this is your first Sunday with us and you're like, what just happened? We like to take every year at this time, we celebrate 13 years of Core Church, and we like to just take songs that are popular in our culture and then filter them through God's Word. Like, what does God have to say through this? You've heard me say this, and I'll just keep saying it, and I think it's important, especially in this series. Like, I believe that there's just two types of music. There's music that honors God, and there's music that doesn't honor God. In all genres. It doesn't matter what your favorite type of music is. You know, you've got the playlist. I've got the playlist. I was driving home yesterday from the ABBA walk. That was great yesterday. Let's celebrate that. That was awesome. Driving home with Laura from the ABBA walk, and I was listening to the playlist, and as the one of the my playlist, and one of the songs came on. I was like, oh yeah, yeah, and I'd skip. Because I knew I didn't need to be feeding that into my soul. And so what I want you to know is that it starts with me here on this stage. I preach more to myself in this because I'm constantly eliminating some of my all-time favorite songs that I know have no business. Because I said last week, like, why am I eating out of the world's garbage can? What do I expect to get out of that? Garbage in? Yeah, that's kind of how it works. So Acts chapter 16, so this series that we're in for playlists, we're talking about the God who loves. What I hope and pray that through this series is that you will discover how deeply loved you are by God. Every week in this series, we've been talking about different things from the God who walks with me, the God who sees me, and today I want to talk to you about the God who hears you, the God who hears you. He hears you when you call out to him. During this series, we're looking at our four core values, and these four core values guide everything that we do here at Core Church. You saw them just a moment ago, but this is them right there: hope for the heart, healing for the soul, peace of mind, and purpose in the world. Will you say that with me? Hope for the heart, healing for the soul, peace of mind, and purpose in the world. And we're guided by Matthew chapter 22, the words of Jesus. Now, this morning you heard during the child dedication, some of you may have never known that Jesus was actually quoting Moses. And by the way, it's a really weird thing here. Think about this. Jesus is quoting Moses, who quotes God. I don't know. Figure that out yourself, okay? But this is it. Let's say this together because this is foundational to who we are at Core Church. Say this with me. Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." So Acts chapter 16, if you don't have a copy of the scriptures, we have free Bibles in the lobby. Grab one. We have a Lord's Prayer guide. If you're not used to reading the Bible, it will help you to guide you in your experience in the scriptures. You can also download YouVersion, which is a great app. You'll see a lot of people on that this morning. But in Acts chapter 16, this was, Acts, by the way, is an account of the early church. And it is written by Luke, who was not one of the 12 disciples. And Luke wrote these accounts of the early church, and this is one of those. So let me kind of tell you what's happening in Acts chapter 16. Paul, who started so many churches around the world and is responsible for like literally all the letters that we have here in the New Testament. So many of the books of the Bible in the New Testament are from the Apostle Paul. So he's going around the world, he's starting churches, and he's in this one city, and this one girl is following him, and she's possessed by an evil spirit that allows her to tell fortunes, and she's a slave, and somebody's making money off of her. Horrible. Awful. And she's antagonizing Paul and Silas to the point that he turns around after a couple days of this and he just casts the evil spirit out of this girl. When he does that, it's the money grab is gone. The guy who's a slave owner, he's very upset. And so they drag Paul and Silas before the city officials and say, hey, they're stirring everybody up. And go to verse 22. Verse 22 says, a mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So the jailer put them in the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. Let's pray together. Holy Spirit, come. Would you speak to us today? Church, I want to encourage you to pray for the people that are around you, in front of you, behind you, to your left, to your right, whether you know them or not. You don't have to pray out loud. Just begin to pray for them, because we're going to talk about peace today. And I think a lot of us struggle in our lives. I mean, we just have a lot of hardship and a lot of difficulties, and how do we find peace in the midst of uncertainty? We want to talk about that, so just pray. And pray for those, pray for your own soul as well. Man, say, God, what do you want to say to me? Would you speak to me? Holy Spirit, come. Speak to us today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, you can grab a seat. So we are celebrating 13 years of Core Church. Most of you know that our history, though, goes much, much deeper than that. We started 13 years ago. If you don't know our journey, two churches came together to form what is now Core Church. Our history actually goes much deeper than that. It actually goes back 25 years. And Laura and I are part of all 25 years. And there was a church that was started that was called Family Church, and it met at the Union 6th and 7th grade center. And at that time, I wasn't the pastor. I was actually on the radio. I was doing my morning show, minding my own business. And then God spoke to me about going into full-time ministry. And so I joined the team, and I became the children and youth pastor. That's why we have such a passion for kids around here, because I just love kids, and I love young people. I mean, I just get jazzed about hanging out. I'd rather hang out with them than hang out with a bunch of old people. Now, I didn't call you old. If you received that the wrong way, because that's how you heard it. Okay, but I did kids and youth, and we were a part of a church plant, and what that means is that we were meeting in a school, and we had to set up and tear down every single week. That meant we had a U-Haul, and everything went in and out. Give you an idea, if you've never experienced that before, what I want you to do is go home, rent a U-Haul, and then load your house up in that U-Haul, and then about 4 hours later, unload it again. And then do that every single week. That's what Laura and I did for 12 years. Every single week doing that. And we loved it, and the church grew, and it was vibrant, and people were coming to Jesus and getting saved. It was just amazing. They bought this property here to build this building that we are in today. And in 2008, Laura and I were sent out and commissioned by Family Church to start another church. And that was on the east side of Tulsa. And that church was called Connection Church. And we met at Rosa Parks Elementary. I look out here at this group, and I see some of you who came to faith in Jesus Christ in that gymnasium. And then we moved over to the Green Country Event Center, And I see people from Green Country Event Center here this morning. Some of you who came to faith, Corey Reynolds came to faith and was baptized at the Green Country Event Center. And so we were over there from 2008 to 2012. Well, right after Laura and I left to go start that church, and we took a small group, very small group of people to help us to get that church started, the founding pastor, he left and he went and took a church in Florida. And so the two people who had kind of been foundational to the church were now gone, and Family Church fell on some really, really difficult times. I mean, some really hard times. In fact, within 4 years, attendance had begun to drop dramatically. Leaders were leaving. And after about 4 years, they found themselves with just a couple of hundred people. And a once vibrant church was struggling. $4 million in debt. $25,000 a month mortgage. You think your mortgage is high. You think your rent is high. Losing $10,000 a month. And about 6 months from closing the doors. And that's when the leadership came to Laura and I and said, hey, would you consider bringing these two churches back together? Now, before you say, wow, man, Brad, and what an amazing thing, I want you to imagine that a company contacted you tomorrow and said, we want you to come to work for us. We think we're going to go bankrupt in 6 months, but we'd love for you to come to work for us. Okay, yeah, so now you get the picture. But Laura and I knew, and our leaders fasted and prayed at Connection Church, and the leaders at Family Church fasted and prayed, and we felt it was what God wanted to do, and we knew it was what God wanted to do. So we came together in 2012 to form what is now called Core Church. And I believed, yeah, you can celebrate that. I think some of you wanted to celebrate that. So I believed in that God was going to move mountains. I was convinced, like I was ready for the task at hand. How many of you believe that God can move mountains? How many of you prayed for God to move a mountain and the mountain didn't move? Not as much celebration on that one. I prayed and I believed the mountain was going to move, and guess what? The mountain didn't move. And I didn't know the mountain wasn't going to move for over a decade. And it was a struggle. The weight and the stress and the constant heaviness. And waking up, sleepless nights. I'd wake up. You ever had so much pressure on you? You wake up in the middle of the night. And all I could do was just begin to pray. And what was amazing, though, is even when I would wake up and I would just be, like, sweating and just, you ever had the butterflies that you can't control? You're like, why do I have these butterflies? That's called anxiety, by the way. You're having an anxiety attack. I was on that course many times. Yes, faith in God. Yes, trusting God. Never doubting. Never doubted, but I still had sleepless nights. And I remember many times doubt would be knocking at the door. But every time that doubt would knock at the door, I would begin to pray and the peace of God would come. But it still didn't take care of the debt. We were still struggling. We were still barely, in fact, I remember the mailbox miracle. Some of you have been to the New Here lunch and you've heard me tell the mailbox miracle. You're going to hear me tell it again. Because it's just so amazing what God did. It was a Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock, and we used to have our offices in that building next door. And I was sitting there, and I was crying out to God because the next day was payroll, and we had utilities and a mortgage, and they were all due, and we were $7,500 short. And I was sitting in my office, and I was just like, "Come on, God, how much longer? Come on." I don't know what else to do here. I'm trying. And I don't know what possessed me in that moment, but I think I was just a little bit loopy at the time. And I decided, you know, I'm going to do a miracle walk to the mailbox. And I think I was having flashbacks of like TBN and, you know, all the send the money in stuff and all those kinds of preachers. And so I jumped up from my dinner and I just literally was walking to the mailbox that was right outside. And I was walking to that mailbox. And as I walked to the mailbox, I was like, yes, Lord, money cometh. Hallelujah. You know, and By the way, I wasn't doing that genuinely. I was doing that sarcastically because I knew there's not going to be any money there. But I just had to do something, you know. And I was like, yeah, I receive it. I claim it. I speak it into existence, Lord. I was trying anything. I was desperate. And I imagine that God was looking down from heaven in that moment. And some of the people in heaven were like, hey, you going to let him get away with that? And I'm sure God was like, it's either that or he's going to go nuts. So just kind of let him do his thing. So I did the walk to the mailbox. And I opened up the mailbox, and when I looked at the mailbox, I took a step back because there was a, you ever get one of those things that has the little clear section of the envelope and it says pay to the order of? But you know what it is, right? It's one of those stupid loans. You know, they want to give you 10 grand, but you got to pay it back. And I was like, hey, whatever, I'll humor you. Ha 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 ha. I pull it out and I open up it, the envelope, and it's not one of those scams. It's a legitimate check for $7,500. The exact amount that we needed. I didn't walk back to the office. I levitated back to the office. Okay, by the way, if you ever want to confirm it, Jody Liptak, who's right there, was the first person I saw, and I'm like, you're not gonna believe this! She's like, wow. I mean, we've seen the goodness and great. We've just seen God's grace and his mercy and what he's done over and over again. I would love to tell you that that was it, but that wasn't it. It still was sleepless nights and stress and anxiety and wondering, God, I thank you for that miracle. Come on, somebody, right? Thank you, God, for the miracle. But how many of you have gotten the miracle and then you get down the road, I don't know, a couple of hours, and then you've forgotten, now you're all upside down again. That's what would happen to me. And God would like, do you not remember? I remember what you did, but do you got to, I know what we need you to do now. I would go out and prayer walk and just wear out the pavement, wear it out, praying, asking God. And I remember one time I was looking over, we used to have soccer fields. How many of you remember the soccer fields? Okay, a lot of you remember the soccer. There used to be soccer fields where the shopping center is now. And I just sensed God saying, hey, you got land here you could sell. And I really sensed God saying, if you'll call the people to pray, I'll sell the land. And I was like, I don't know about that, God. That's risky. And so I kind of sat on it for a few days. And God said, are you going to call the people to pray? Because if you call them to pray, I'll sell it. And I said, okay, so we gathered in here on a Wednesday night. And I told people that, was anybody here that was a part of that prayer gathering? Okay, some of you were here, you were part of that prayer gathering. And I told them what I just told you, and we spread out over this property. And this is one of my favorite, all-time favorite pictures right here. It's the people of God crying out to God. I was so moved to watch people all over this property just praying because I knew I wasn't alone. I think of Paul and Silas, and I'm like, not alone. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them, you are not alone. You are not alone. And we are journeying together. Journeying together. I'd love to tell you that the next day that we sold the property, we didn't. I'd love to tell you the next week we sold the property, we didn't. Praise be to God, though, about 6 weeks later, and by the way, at this point, we had to have a miracle, or we were going to be done. About 6 weeks later, I got a phone call, and somebody said, hey, I want to talk to you about that property. And they bought it and took $1.2 million off of our debt so I could sleep at night. That's that shopping center. By the way, I call this the chicken miracle. Y'all know why I call it the chicken miracle, don't you? Yeah. I mean, we got Chick-fil-A now. You're welcome. So we got the mailbox miracle. We got the chicken miracle. But God wasn't done. We sold more land. $2.8 million came off the debt. Now today, as we stand here today, not $4 million of debt, $650,000 of debt. And by the way, Hang on. I want to take another offering right now because we're going to deal with that right now. I was just pausing, just in case. You never know. You never know. You never know what God's going to do and whose heart he's going to move on. But we had $4 million, now we got $650,000. We had a $25,000 a month mortgage. Our mortgage now is $4,500 a month. We went from losing $10,000 a month to putting $10,000 a month into ministries and starting churches around the world. Now let's praise God for who he is and what he's done. He's the God who hears you, is what I'm trying to say. He's the God who hears you, and he can bring peace in the midst of your uncertainty. So what is it you're crying out to God for? Is it a broken relationship that you can't seem to fix and you can get no peace? Is it your finances where you're like, man, I would love a miracle like that, and I desperately need one, and I can't get peace? Is it in your health where you're supposed to be improving, but you go into the doctor and he says, no, it's actually worse? Is it something about your job or your future that you're praying for, but it's just out there and you can't get a hold of it? Where has uncertainty got a hold of you? I love what the song says. I mean, it's just this Tommy, he used to work on the docks, right? The union went on strike. And now he's down on his luck, and it's tough. So how do you find peace in the midst of uncertainty? Well, today, I want to show you a pathway to peace. I'll encourage somebody next to you and tell them there is a pathway to peace. Encourage somebody next to you, tell them there's a pathway to peace. Because at Core Church, we believe this: peace of mind is found in Jesus. Peace of mind is not found in anything else but Jesus. If you're taking notes, you might want to write that down. If you're new in your chair back, there's sermon notes, you can write that down. But today I want to show you this pathway to peace in the few minutes that we have here together. So Acts 16, Paul and Silas, they found themselves in the midst of uncertainty, yet they found peace. Look back at verse 22. Verse 22 says, they were severely beaten and they were thrown into prison. Now, when we think about this, the jailer placed them in the inner dungeon is what scripture tells us. He was placed in the inner dungeon. You have to understand what this was like. When the Romans put people in prison, it was nothing like our prison system. They put you in prison to torture you. They did all they could do to make your life miserable. And Paul and Silas were put down in the bottom of the prison. They were put in chains and stocks. The stocks weren't to keep them from escaping. The stocks were to torture them, because your legs would begin to cramp up and there was no way to move. Oh, and by the way, everything you could imagine, all of the filth from the upper prison would drain down into the dungeon floor. And they're on that floor, laying on their backs, with their wounds wide open from the beating they have taken. And scripture tells us that they had, there's no ventilation. It's this inner dungeon. It is a dark place. Here's what I want to say. I would like for you to write this down. That the pathway to peace begins with pain. The pathway to peace begins with pain. I mean, come on, turn to somebody and say, man, I am glad I came today. That's good preaching. I'm glad. Aren't you glad? Let's just pray right now. It's like the song says, like Gina dreams of running away. She cries in the night. You ever been there? You just want to get away as far away as I can. I just want to get away from this. And this is what pain does. It robs us of peace. It robs us of peace, and it keeps us like in a prison, smothered and overwhelmed, where you find yourself in that inner dungeon. You're at your lowest point where it is incredibly dark. This is where most people get stuck. Turn to somebody and tell them, don't get stuck. Do not get stuck. Come on. Turn to somebody else and tell them, don't get stuck in your pain. Don't get stuck in your pain. See, in Acts 16, the jailer, this is interesting, the jailer locked them up to shut them up. That's why they put him in prison. Because why? Because they were proclaiming the gospel. The last thing the enemy wants you to do is talk about the faithfulness of God. He doesn't want you to do that. So he will do whatever is necessary to lock you up and shut you up. He will put you in a prison of frustration and anger and confusion and doubt and anxiety and stress and depression, anything to keep you from proclaiming the goodness of God. He's going to taunt you. Last year in August, I was came home, and August is an important part of this story because I came home, it was 105 degrees, and I went to go into the house, and I couldn't get into the house because our keypad wasn't working right. How many of you know when you have a keypad, of course you have a backup key, right? No, nobody has a backup key. I didn't either. No one was home. I'm going around to every door trying to get in, every window. I go around the back of the house. I'm in the back of the house. I'm trying to get in. I'm at a window trying to get in. I look inside the house, and Otis is in there mocking me. Now, for those of you who don't know, Otis is our dog. It's not some strange man hanging out in my house, okay? That'd be weird, wouldn't it? Some guys in there going, huh, funny, I'm in your house, Brad. So my great, he's like looking at me like, yeah, it feels great in here. What are you doing out there? This is what the enemy wants to do. He wants to taunt you. And he wants you to see that what you desire, what you're hoping for is just on the other side, and you are never going to get there. It's never going to happen for you. You're going to be locked in that inner dungeon. So how do we get out? How do we get out of that? How do we find that peace and get out of that inner dungeon? Look at verse 25. It says in verse 25, around midnight, Paul and Silas, they were doing what? Praying and singing hymns to God. I want you to write this down. Prayer and praise are the pathway to peace. Prayer and praise are the pathway to peace. Paul and Silas, they're in prison. They're in chains, they're bleeding out, laying on the floor, and they're praying and praising God? This is not my typical reaction when things go wrong. Is it yours? That's not my default. Last year, Laura and I, we met with a financial planner. We were so excited. We'd never done this before. And we're like, you know what? We just need to get our finances, kind of see where we're at, where we're headed for the future. And we went down and we sent them all of our stuff and went downtown Tulsa. Guy's on like the 19th floor overlooking Tulsa. He's got this amazing PowerPoint presentation. And I'm thinking to myself, he knows. He knows how jacked up I am. Because, you know, you let him in. You let somebody see how you're spending your money, and he's going to see where I spend. He's just going to call me out on it. He didn't. He actually said, Brad, I'm impressed. And I'm like, well, of course you are. Did you need me to do this for you? Do you need to switch seats? He's showing me that our financial, he said, you're looking good for the future. And he offered some tweaks and some things that we could do. And he said, do this and this. And I was like, this is great. Laura and I get in the car. We're driving home. We're like, wow. I never praise it. We are praising God on the Broken Arrow Expressway back home. We're like, thank you, Lord. We didn't think this would happen. And then 2025 happened. 2025 hits, and tax season comes around. And then I get this tax bill I wasn't expecting with a lot of zeros on it. Oh. And then it's July, and it's hot. And by the way, I'm inside the house, and it's 105. Not outside. The air conditioning unit goes out. So I call my air conditioning guy. He tells me, you need a new one? No problem. Bring it, put it in. And then he tells me how much it's going to cost. Have you priced those things recently? They have a lot of zeros on the end of them. I was like, Laura, you're going to have to sell a kidney. But listen, you only need one, and I will still love you for better or for worse. Remember all the rain we got? You remember? I mean, it's just pounding rain. Yeah, so we weren't done yet. No. Pounding rain, and all of a sudden, Aunt Mary, who lives with us, she's like, Brad! Never good when Aunt Mary's saying it that way. There ain't hot rolls waiting on me. It's just a hot mess. That's what's waiting on me. So I go in the bedroom where she is, and she says, points up at the ceiling, we got a leak. Not just any leak, but a pretty good size leak where they had to dismantle the entire chimney. In that moment, I wasn't praising God and singing hymns to the Lord. Paul and Silas, though, they have this peace because their peace wasn't based on their circumstances. Their peace was based on Christ. Their peace was based on Christ. That's the only reason they had peace. If you base your peace on circumstances, you're in a world of hurt. How do I know that? Because I base my peace on circumstances way too many times. And I forget, oh wait, Christ is my firm foundation on which I stand. All other ground is what? Sinking sand, yeah. God heard their prayers and he was with them. As humans, we just have this negative bias. I mean, we just do. Like, we just bent towards the negative, and we just kind of create our own limited belief system. We just kind of do it to ourselves. That's why you've got to pray the promises. You might want to write that down. You got to pray the promises. You got to get into God's word. You got to find a promise, and you got to grab a hold of it with everything you've got and not let go of it. Most of you are very aware of the recovery I've been going through and how difficult it has been since April. Every 4 hours, a lot of pain and a lot of struggle that still continues to this day. And I was looking back through a journal. I encourage you should journal. If you don't journal, you should write things down. And I was revisiting my journal, and I didn't realize in the first month, God had given me 9 promises. 9 promises in just the first month of me looking through the scriptures and praying and just daily in his word, and it would just leap off the page at me, and I could just hear God saying, that's yours, Brad. Hold on to that. Speak it over your life. So a couple weeks ago, I was looking at it, and it's grown. I no longer have 9. I have 31 that God has given me in the last 5 months. And I thought, wait a minute, I've got 31, one for every day of the month. So I numbered them, day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4. And every day I look at it. When I wake up in the morning, the very first thing I do is I look at the promise that God has given to me. The very last thing I do before my head hits the pillow, I'm on my knees beside my bed, and I'm looking at that promise, and I'm saying, that's the promise you've given to me, God, and I lean into that. Here's day 21 right here. This is day 21. I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to him, and what? He answered my prayer. He hears you when you cry out to him. And he visits you in your uncertainty, and he will give you peace. He's the God who hears. The song says we're halfway there, living on a prayer. Whether you are halfway there or just partway there, I want you to know this. God will meet you right there. Wherever you are, that's where he will meet you. He will always make up the difference because he hears you when you call out to him. But not only do we need to pray the promises, but here's the other thing we need to do. We need to sing the promises. We got to sing the promises. And don't tell me you don't sing, okay? I pulled up at the stoplight next to you, and I've seen you. Everybody sings. When you got a favorite song, you sing. Even Curtis Neal sings. And I've got my playlist. You heard me talking about it. My playlist is very diverse. I mean, I got Billy Joel. I mean, I've got Billy Idol. I got Billie Eilish. I got Billy Ray Cyrus. I don't have Billy Ray Cyrus. Ain't no achy breaky heart on my playlist. But I love to sing. But let me tell you this, that there's something happens in your soul when you begin to sing the promises of God. Something happens within you. So most of you know Laura's mom, Evelyn, and she also lives with us. She just turned 84 in August. Can we, man, 84, man. So what's your excuse for not coming to church every week? She's here every week. And last year, she got cancer. And she had to go through extensive radiation treatments. But she conquered it, and she rang the bell. Yeah. Praise be to God. This year, it came back. Dang it. And she had to go through radiation again. And she loves music. She sings all the time. She wears hearing aids, and sometimes she'll have them out. She doesn't know how loud she's singing, and I can hear her. And I love it. I wouldn't want it any other way. So she's been going through these radiation treatments every day going through these radiation treatments. She came home one day, and I could tell it just wiped her out. She was shuffling her feet. I said, "How you doing?" And she said, "Oh, I'm pretty exhausted. I'm going to go lay down." I said, "Okay." So she went into her bedroom, and I was in the kitchen, and I was standing in the kitchen. And next thing I know, she's coming out of the bedroom, and she's shuffling her feet, and I said, "Well, what are you doing?" And she said, "I'm not going to lay down. I'm going to go play the piano." And so she shuffles over to the piano, and she literally willed herself to that piano. And she sat down, and she just began to play the most beautiful song, and I just happened to record it. Some of you probably recognize that. It's an old hymn. It's called "To God Be the Glory." It's written by Fanny Crosby, who was blind her entire life. Part of the song that she was playing was, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice." So when you find yourself in that lowest point, you've heard me say this so many times, you just gotta keep singing until your soul catches up. Come on, turn to somebody and tell them, you gotta keep singing until your soul catches up. You gotta keep singing until your soul catches up. Verse 26 says, suddenly. Somebody say, suddenly. Suddenly. That meant peace can come suddenly. There was a massive earthquake. The prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer runs in. He's freaking out. He's thought that the prisoners had escaped. He's ready to take his own life. Paul and Silas say, "No, we're still here." That's interesting. We're still here. In the midst of uncertainty, we're still here. And the jailer says, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul explains to him salvation. It says the jailer and his entire family came to Christ that night and were baptized. It's incredible. In verse 36, it says the jailer told Paul, "Go in peace." Like, peace of mind is found in Jesus. We serve the God of suddenly. Like, suddenly chains can fall off. Suddenly peace can come in the midst of a dungeon. This is who our God is. He hears you when you call out to him. So cry out to him, sing out to him, and I promise you he will show you the pathway to peace. We hope this message today has encouraged and inspired you.
If you don't have a church home, we'd love for you to join us Sundays at 10 a.m.
And if we can support you or encourage you or help you in any way, please use any of the links that are in the description. Thanks again for joining us online. We pray you have a great week.